Welcome, welcome everybody to another episode of the Gadget Switch podcast. I am your host, RP3, and I'm here along with my co-host, Mr. V Worldwide. How you doing, bro?
What is up, man? What's going on tonight?
Nothing, man, other than the fact that it is Galaxy Note 20 weekend, or whatever you want to call it, month. But yeah, there's Note 20 Ultras, Note 20 videos everywhere, all over YouTube. And this phone has a lot of hype behind it. Whether you like the phone or whether you hate it, people are mad about the regular 20 with the plastic back costing $1,000, and they're mad about the Ultra 20 costing almost $1,300, $1,400 bucks, depending on which one you're getting. So it's like a love-hate relationship. So, I mean, what are your views on this phone?
Man, my views, I mean, it's a Note. I love it. I mean, I haven't got it yet, but I just figure I'm going to like it because it, I mean, the Note to me is, I mean, it's been the ultimate phone, you know, with the S Pen and everything. And I see there's a few changes, and I see a few people have been upset with the little camera bump in the back.
Yeah.
How's that working out for you on yours? I noticed you had picked one up.
Yeah. I mean, well, the camera back is, I mean, the sensor, the new sensor is to be, it's like, from what I understand, there's bigger camera sensors. There's more technology in that, and they had to make it somewhat bigger. The thing I kind of somewhat admire, or that I like about it, is that they did it in a manner where it's tastefully done. I mean, like how the camera has those nice little round circles in it, surrounding the camera lenses themselves, and the trim of it, the shiny color in comparison to the matte color of the body. I think they did a good job of it. I mean, it's big. You can't lay it on a table and use it because it's going to rock. It's going to rock like crazy.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I mean, it's understandable if you understand what they were trying to do.
Yeah. See, I usually get the Defender case anyway, so I'm figuring that's going to cancel all that out, and you won't get a lot of, I mean, you won't see a lot of that. You probably won't see any of it. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I agree. I'm sorry. You're right. I didn't mean to cut you off. Yeah, you're right. You won't see any of that, but I would suggest some type of protection over that camera itself.
Oh, you mean like the front screen, like a glass protector or something?
Well, they do have screen protectors for the actual camera sensor now.
Really?
Yeah, so you can buy a little 2-inch screen protector that fits over the glass camera in the back, because I mean, even if the case is protected, it's still a wide enough area where, you know, regardless of how much that case is going to protect it so much. And if something was to go up at it, or it can get cracked.
Yeah. It fall in a rock just sticking up and I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas other camera sensors were kind of small and you knew that case would protect it. But this camera sensor is so wide and it takes up a lot of real estate on the back of the phone. I'm worried if I was to drop it, and what kind of damage that it could cause, even with a case protecting it.
Yeah. So, what case are you rocking right now? What you have on there?
Well, me, like when I normally get a phone, I got a Speegin. I like to wear Speegin cases because they're kind of minimal. They're not very bulky. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of cases that are kind of bulky, and they kind of throw me off a little bit, but I don't want to mention any names because I work with a lot of those companies and I don't want to, I don't want to use nobody as an example, but it's just rinky in general. Seem to have a nice feel. I like their designs. There are some knockoff cases.
That one looks nice.
That have the same feel to them, but have you ever tried Speegin?
I haven't. I've never tried Speegin at all. I've had OtterBox. and Poetic. What other? That's about it, man.
Yeah, Poetic make nice cases too. They make very minimal cases, but I don't.
Yeah.
Knock on wood, I don't drop my phone a lot. I don't drop a phone.
Yeah.
I think if, you know what, the times that I have dropped a phone, it's been because my pockets, the phone, the way the phone sit in my pocket, and then when I get out my car seat, sometimes when you get out, that half of your phone is hanging out your pocket.
Yeah, and that crease kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of pushes it out of your pocket. Yeah.
Right, and then it goes, it hits the ground, and I'd be like, oh. So, I mean, to me, but here's the thing about cases. If you drop your phone one time and it survived the drop, that case paid for itself.
Exactly. That's what I think too. Yeah. You know, so I dropped my, I did drop my Note 10 and I had the OtterBox, Defender case. It's the one I always get. I tried the commuter, you know, that one's a minimalist case, but and I don't know, the OtterBox, the Defender case just makes me feel more secure. Right. But anyway, I dropped this case, or I dropped this phone, and it was fine. And then I went to take off the case to, you know, wipe the phone down, wipe the back down. I do that every now and then. But I noticed the case had cracked on the inside underneath that rubber or the silicone.
Wow.
So the case took it, and it, I mean, it's broke. Like when I take it off, there is just snapped apart in one spot. Wow. So...
But it protects your phone.
It protected the phone. Yeah, and exactly.
So it was worth every penny you spent.
Yeah, it's worth it. Because, I mean, what are you going to pay if you drop it and crack the screen or crack it? Because the whole thing's encased in glass. I mean, pretty much the front and the back.
Yeah, and it depends on if you got insurance through your carrier.
Yeah.
So they're going to charge you at least over $190 for the new phone.
You got to get that deductible and everything.
You got that. Well, I got T-Mobile. I forgot they got Experian. I forgot that company name they got, but the only good thing about it is when they do send you the phone, they can send it to you very fast, within 24, like it's like overnight.
Yeah, I noticed before, like when I had pre-ordered before, they they're pretty fast with it.
But the thing is, they give you refurbished phones, so that's the thing I don't like. They don't give you like a brand new one. They give you like a real quote unquote lightly, because it doesn't come in a box as if it's new.
Yeah.
There's no plastic on it as if it's new. So they get basically giving you a refurbished phone. And I guess I can kind of understand that, because let's say you had a iPhone for 2 years.
Yeah.
And you break it. Now, the value of your phone in comparison to the new iPhone, people might be getting over on the insurance company. So maybe that's why they do refurbish. I don't know.
Exactly. No, I know what you're saying.
I'm pulling at straws. I don't really know, man. I'm just pulling at straws here. But the thing that I like about this Note, though, is even though the camera kind of overprocessed, you know, kind of soften and smooth your skin.
Yeah.
How it makes you look kind of, you know,
it's plastic.
But it's still a good phone, and the cameras are real good. And if somebody was like a vlogger or a content creator or something like that,
you can
run your channel with this phone.
It is always nice too.
Yeah. And then I pick up these Gearbud Live, the Gear Live, or what they call, whatever they call them. I have never owned Samsung earpods or earbuds before.
You didn't get the Galaxy Plus?
Yeah, even my first, never owned anything like extra from Samsung. I never owned a Samsung tablet. I was thinking about getting that new S7 Tab.
Oh yeah, that one looks sweet, man.
Yeah, I've been thinking about getting that. And like I said, these earbuds, I don't want to get off on the tab too much, but these earbuds, from a comfort standpoint, like everybody's ear is different.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they give you instructions on how to put them in, it's like they want you to put the bud in and then twist it forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to look like, it's supposed to fit around that little small cartilage that curves on the outside of your ear.
Yeah.
And what have you. And it doesn't fit to in my ear. I get more comfort instead of, they want you to twist it forward. I get more comfort when I twist it back.
Oh, okay.
So it sits better in the back of my ear than towards the front of my ear.
Do they, Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, no. And they got these little wing things you're supposed to, they got a different one inside the box.
Yeah, that's
they only got one. They don't, like some companies will give you a couple of choices, but they only give you one, and the one they give you makes it worse.
So yeah, they'll give you like small, medium, large. So they only put one set in there?
Yep, one set to change out. And and like I said, it doesn't even make it better. And it's weird because I think the wings are supposed to sit high up on that cartilage on the in your ear.
Yeah,
and it just doesn't feel right. It feels like it's going to fall out. And you're constantly pushing them. You're going to be constantly feel like you got to push them back in.
Yeah.
So, that's a little bit of a irritation thing.
How's the sound? Have you listened to those?
It's all right. On a scale of 1 to 10, I gave it a 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they don't have like the EQ inside of the app, like the GearWare app. Because one, like let's say when you get these for the first time and when you open them up, it pairs like AirPods does to an iPhone.
Yeah.
So if your phone is nearby, a nice little icon will open up on the bottom of your phone with a picture of the very same earbuds you have. It will show up on the phone, and then it'll have each earbud sitting there telling you how much power is in each earbud and how much power the cradle has.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like the Galaxy Plus did that.
Right.
Yeah.
So it goes through that nice little animation and format and what have you. And you know, it didn't give you instructions on how it suggests you should wear the earbuds, but they don't work.
They don't work for me. Yeah. Yeah, everybody's ear is different. That was an interesting design they came up with.
Yeah.
I thought it was better. I don't know. I like the other design better, like the Galaxy Plus. I mean, they do stick out. I guess they're trying to be a little sleeker this year with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But to answer your question, they have a EQ with, I think, 5 or 6 presets. And they got bass boost and dynamic sounds the best. You know what I'm saying? Then they have the other profiles. A lot of them profiles are not too memorable. But in general, the sounds are okay. They're supposed to be able to lock out surrounding sounds, but it's not really you can still hear a lot of outside noises that's surrounding you.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of good. I wouldn't say it's bad, because if you're running in these, you don't want to be completely oblivious to what's around you.
You're hit by a train or something.
Right. Yeah. Right. So yeah. So I'll read them off. It's got normal bass boost, soft, dynamic, clear, and treble boost. That's what they call the EQ. And I always thought an EQ would be something that I would adjust to my likings. Not 6 presets.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Then they got that active noise canceling that's really weak. It's not very good.
Man.
But I think in a lot of ways it's kind of good that it doesn't really seal you off from the world too, also.
Yeah. You know, they got those full headphones for that, those 4 WMX4s are out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are, man, I tried some of those. They black out everything. They're nice. But anyway, and then, man.
And then also, the 5G on this is it's pretty good. I got T-Mobile's 5G, that's sub six, so I get pretty good speeds in Michigan.
Oh, y'all got it out there already?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, we well, I'm in Albuquerque, so you know we rule basically compared to everywhere else.
Yeah.
So yeah, speaking of 5G, I had a couple of questions on that that I see people ask about the 5G.
Mm-hmm.
That you bring that up. So, and for people who don't know, 5G, you know, it just promises faster connections and reduced latency and higher data rate. So basically you could download a 2-hour movie in 3.6 seconds with 5G, whereas with 4G, you're looking at about 6 minutes. And then some of the questions, you know, was the ultimate one, is it dangerous? And the jury's out. It's yes and no.
That's crazy talk.
Because it kind of depends on who you ask. Because the reason some people consider it dangerous is just the wavelengths and radiation that it uses.
But it's a different kind of wavelength.
Exactly.
It's not that type of wavelength that can hurt you. Exactly. That's the thing about it. It's just like, if that's the case, your microwave, you'd be worried about their...
Exactly.
Your microwave oven is not that kind of... It, you know, that's just something I think, you know, it's more of a conspiracy thing. I really don't give too much credence to it, but you got people out here tearing up towers and doing all kind of crazy
stuff. Are they? Really?
Yeah, you got people tearing down towers because of 5G. They're afraid 5G is going to kill them and blah, blah, blah. Oh, I mean, like the MMM wave that Verizon is using right now.
Yeah.
It doesn't travel a long distance. So, for example, if you had Verizon's 5G on their MM wave signal,
yeah,
if you walk into a building, you can lose the signal immediately. Marques Brownlee did speed tests with it. Now, don't get me wrong, the speeds that you get from that high end 5G speed is incredible. You can get almost like 17 to, I've seen people get 17, 2,000, 2,500 download millibits per second. That's 2 gig. That's almost what, 2 gigs, like 2.5 gigs per second.
That's crazy, man.
Something like that. I'm guessing. I don't know. Let me stop. But their speeds are literally incredible. Now, I got sub six and I get... 379 megabits download speeds, and then like 30 up.
It's better than my computer at home, man. I got some slow speed here, but yeah, because we don't have it here yet though in Albuquerque, so it may be a while here though, man. They slow here, so.
I mean, you might be getting it soon. I mean, I wouldn't say you don't, you know, you might have it in Albuquerque, but you may not have it. But then again, have you tested to see?
I haven't, because I don't have the device yet.
Right. So,
well, I know that was another thing that people were asking, you know, if they need it. And they say in some cases that the 4G will benefit a little bit from it. Mm-hmm. But in order to get that full fledged 5G, you have to have that device that's 5G. So, but I just know that was one of the questions that people asked me. So,
I mean, it's like this. It's just more along the lines that, you know, it's the three main ways that 5G is going to work is that MM wave. Then you got that mid tier that runs on a 2.5 gigahertz signal that's ramp that. T-Mobile bought a whole lot of that spectrum from Sprint. And then you got the sub-6 5G that's nothing more than, a lot of people say, 4G plus. Basically, that's how people say what sub-5G is. So people are panicking about a set of signals that on the high end can barely penetrate brick walls. On the mid level, hasn't even been pushed out across America. And the one that's made the biggest penetration in the United States is that sub six signal, which is barely, in people's opinion, 5G. So you kind of see what I'm saying about what's freaking everybody out?
Man, it's just, I mean, somebody starts something up and it just keeps rolling. You know how the internet is, man.
Because, I mean, people need to chill. Cause like I said, man, if you look at some of these YouTube videos, I think Mr. Mobile did something on 5G, and Marquez, he tested out 5G. I think it was with a OnePlus McLaren. I forgot what phone he was using.
Yeah.
And I mean, even when, if it started raining really hard, it'll interfere with that signal. So what radiation are you scared of?
You know, our bodies has a shielding effect too, from waves, like radio waves and stuff and a lot like that. So,
I mean,
people are just panicking, man. It's just, it's nothing.
But I'm saying, if you're going to be worried about something, be worried about the radiation that the phones put off. I mean, if you wear a phone in your pocket, and as a male, you got that phone right there next to your testicles. And it's giving off that radio. You should be more worried about what your phone's doing to your testicles when you wear it in your front pocket.
Yeah.
Than some stupid 5G.
Yeah, you know, some, like lizard kid later on. You want
right? You know what I'm saying? What the man? Oh god. Yeah.
Yeah, man. People just find stuff to go on, and just, I don't know, man. Especially with, I mean, I've heard that the government.
No, here we go.
Oh, man, these people are crazy, man.
Yeah.
Are implementing the 5G, and that's what's making the coronavirus spread faster.
Oh, God, yeah.
So that's you got that.
That's even more stupid people out there.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Hey, do you look at a lot of YouTube videos about movies that's coming out? Movie premieres?
No, you know, I when I rent a movie, on the PlayStation store or something like that, mm-hmm. on PlayStation, they have like premiering, you know, they've been doing that now, or like premiering straight to home videos.
Oh, okay. Well, as of the recording of this podcast, the new Batman with Robert Pattinson, have you seen that?
I saw a teaser about 2 months ago. They got the trailer out?
The trailer is out tonight.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to watch that.
And it is very gritty. It's more like a year. There's a series of comics called Batman Year One.
Yeah, I've seen the Year One comics, yeah.
Okay.
So it's like that.
Yeah, it's along those lines.
Oh, man.
And very more detective-like. More... it's not too gadget. You know, some Batman can get so gadget out that, you know, he lose that grittiness of him being Batman.
Yeah.
This is about as close to the Christopher Nolan's Batman.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Ben Affleck Batman with all the gadgets.
Yeah.
So the thing is, though, I don't know if I want to go see it in a theater. I want to see the movie, and that's supposed to come out to 2021, but you got some movies that's dropping literally at the end of this month. Marvel's New Mutants is dropping.
Man.
They may drop Black Widow. There's a Tenet starring Denzel Washington's son, John Washington.
Oh, okay.
James Washington, whatever. I keep forgetting his son's name. You know that movie looks good. That's got Robert Pattinson in it too.
Hmm.
And that kind of remind me of Inception. Tenet is
I remember Inception. Yeah,
with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Do you think drive-in theaters need to come back?
I absolutely think they should come back, because I don't think this is going to end anytime soon, man. Even if it does, I mean, you know, people are going to be reluctant not to take vaccines and stuff. But anyway, I think they should. I'd go to a drive-in movie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's social distancing to the ultimate degree right there.
Yeah.
You in your car, another person in their car over 10 feet. I mean, yeah, man.
And what's the modifications where you can have waiters and waitresses? You can, let's say you can put on a light or something like on the top of your car, or do something and have somebody come to your car and you can
order.
I think that'd be cool.
Oh man, let's start one up, man. Let's get one going. That's a good idea. Do you have some fool talking about, hey man, turn that light off?
Well, I mean like a little red.
No, I know what you're saying.
Like, man, a little red siren light you could put on. Oh, that car over there is looking for some service. And you go over there with your mask on and everybody knows what they want. You know, you could probably still get up and go, because I mean, some drive-thrus used to have a popcorn line. You had to get out your car and walk to the back of the actual.
Oh yeah, I remember that, man. Going to get a hot dog. Yeah,
get a hot dog and popcorn or something like that.
Yeah, man, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the ultimate social distancing thing right there. But yeah, I don't know how they're going to do these theaters. That's why I was just thinking along the lines that might be something that you may see coming back. But if they do get a vaccine, or if somehow this does go away, is it a short-lived business? I mean, like, who's going to invest that money into something like that? And because when you invest, you wanted to have it, you're not investing for the short term.
Oh yeah, you're looking long term. You're looking forever, usually. Yeah, man. I think it'd be real good to do that, though.
Yeah.
Have that going back. So I was looking at something actually on drive-ins as you were talking. It was just there's 306 theaters in the United States, right? About 50 theaters are current. They're currently open right now. And then so here I know we have one off in Las Vegas, New Mexico. It's a real small town up north of Santa Fe. Y'all have any out there?
Yeah, we got a couple of them.
Yeah.
And so, one theater who was known for having like those big luxury seats on the inside, they're starting an outside theater. I think they started it this month, and they got a section of the mall's parking lot. And I've been meaning to ride by that mall, because that's where the movie theater is at. It's part of a mall called Fountain Walk, and they done took over a big hunk of a area of the parking lot behind where their movie theater is. And they're going to switch over to a drive-in.
Oh, that's a good idea. They just put it wouldn't take much probably to put one of those outside, huh?
Yeah, I mean, they could put the monitors out, and they're going to be able to come up and drive in. And I'm quite sure they're building the infrastructure for it. Now, here's a funny thing here, though. The Detroit Lions used to play at a place called the Pontiac Silverdome.
Yeah, I remember Silverdome.
Back in the day. And when they moved back to the city in downtown and left the suburb of Pontiac, the theater, the stadium was still there. So somebody had bought the property that the stadium was still there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they made like 10 different drive-in parking lots up. So they had big screens up against the theater, the actual stadium.
Okay.
So the stadium was surrounded with screens.
Oh man.
And they had people, you can come in and drive in and look at different movies. And then on the inside, you know how you have the little walkthroughs when you're walking around a football stadium
mm-hmm.
to go to concessions. Well, they made those into a roller rink.
Oh, man.
So you can go inside a Silver Dome and skate around the whole perimeter of the football field where you would walk at and go to concessions or the bathrooms and stuff like that. So that was kind of cool how they kind of did it before they tore it down. Somebody figured out a way to make money out of it.
Yeah.
And then you have people come in who would train, run the stairs. They'd be out in the field doing things.
Yeah.
I don't think they play high school games there, but they could have. I think they could have, but I think it was getting kind of long in the tooth and nobody wanted to maintain the field.
Oh, okay.
And then it was it was one of those old school turf fields. So from an injury standpoint, they were kind of worried because these new turf is may have that rubber underneath it.
Oh, yeah, the recycled tires.
Yeah, the recycled tires. And when it comes to falling on those type of turf, you don't get that turf burn.
Yeah.
So they really couldn't play high school sports on it because it still had a little bit of danger to it based on that old school turf. And they didn't have a lot of padding underneath those turf, those old turf from way back in the early 80s and all of that.
Oh, it was just turf to concrete, huh?
Yeah, turf to concrete.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Barry Sanders days.
That was before Barry.
All of it.
I mean, yeah, Barry split his time there and at in downtown at the new one. So,
oh, was it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, but if you want to go old Billy Sims from Oklahoma.
Oh, that's my boy.
Yeah. Now you want to go Billy Sims. And what's funny, Billy Sims opened up some barbecue restaurants here.
Oh, does he have them there now too?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
He's got them here. And here's the funny thing. He got engaged to a friend of mine. So I don't know if they got married or not. We used to work with her out at Ford.
Oh, yeah.
So I haven't seen her in a while, so I'm assuming they got married.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a couple down in right in Oklahoma, because my mom still stays in Oklahoma and stuff. Yeah, so he's got some there and around about a stadium and over at the Sooner Stadium and stuff. So,
oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, man, that barbecue place is good. I didn't know they had them. Yeah, man, I didn't know he had them up there.
Yeah, he lived, he was splitting his time out, Detroit. He stayed up here a lot.
I didn't know that, man.
Yeah. Yeah, well, oh, well, enough sport. All right, but anyhow, is there anything else, man? I think we had a nice little show here. Anything else you got on your mind, bro?
Man, not really. It's just so we were talking about that the top tier or the tiers of phones.
Oh yeah, you want to talk about that real quick?
Yeah, a little bit.
Let's close the shop with that.
All right.
So do you think Samsung has created a new tier by using the word ultra? So I guess what I'm trying to say is flagship. I always had back in the day, I got used to flagship phones costing under $1,000. And then when these phones start cracking that $1,000 point, they start using little quick nicknames like Max and Pro and Ultra. So I guess that if you threw that little extra name, descriptive name at the end of on the end of your phone, it's supposed to justify the $1,300 or $1,200 or whatever you're paying for the phone. So do you think phones should be called Ultra as its own level, or when you Pro, when next time you hear the name Pro, you should automatically think $1,200, or if you hear Ultra, you should automatically think $1,200. Or I think that's still a flagship.
Well, I think since they even come out there and put that out there like that with the Ultra and everything, like you had the S20 Ultra, which is still more expensive than the Note, isn't it? the Note 20?
Yeah.
You mean the Ultra? I mean, yeah. The S20 Ultra?
Yeah, yeah. Anything with Ultra on it.
Yeah.
We talking about $1,200. Now, you know, yeah, the regular Note cost $8,000.
Yep.
But in comparison to what that Note, what the build materials is made out of and what it brings to the table, is it's not the same phone per se as phones that we did call flagships, because flagship phones were made of glass, and it's hard to justify a plastic phone for $1,000.
I think they've changed it. I mean, because there's no going back now. I mean, you got Ultra, you can't go back. So it's its own tier now. I mean, there's no way around it.
Yeah.
So Ultra is going to be, it's just another level now. And that's what you expect to see now until they come up with the next thing, I guess.
Well, I mean, they're going to keep, I mean, it's not going to be like, nobody's going to come in and, I don't think a lot of people come in and worry about if they're buying a flagship phone or Ultra. I think this might be a techie issue, more so than a regular customer issue, because I think people walk in and if they see a phone costing X amount of dollars, and I think regardless of whether or not it has the best chip processor in it or whether it has the lowest chip processor in it, they just want it to work.
And exactly.
Yeah. I don't think they care about flagships or Ultras or whatever.
Yeah, they don't care. I mean, they come in to buy a phone to use it for a phone and some internet browsing or something. They don't care about all the specs and all that. They just want a good phone.
Yeah.
They usually go by. Oh, go ahead.
No. But I was going to say, I get people at work who ask me questions about their phones because they know I'm into little stuff, just tech stuff.
Yeah.
And they start asking me, well, why my phone is lagging? I said, well, I don't know how you use your phone, first of all, number one. But number two, when I take a look at it, it's usually, it might be some off-brand phone or low-end phone.
Yeah.
And it can't do all the things you're demanding of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then if you have to explain to, well, what that I don't understand, then you try to explain it to them. That means you have to go into some kind of techie detail. And when you go down that rabbit hole, you can see their mind just wandering off.
Oh yeah. They start looking right through. They don't
understand what you're saying.
Uh-huh. That 1,000-mile stare.
Yeah. My wife said it sounded like I'm started talking Chinese. When I started mentioning things, when she started trying to ask me questions, and then when I said something, she said, oh, you sound like you're speaking Chinese to me.
You're like, well, you wanted it.
Right. You wanted me to. But see, that's the thing about it. People want to hear an answer to their solution, but they don't want to hear the tech answer. They want to hear the layman's answer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think the Ultra, this is the argument about Ultra and all of that. I think that's more of a techie thing, kind of like an inside way of people talking and how people got shop talk.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be shop talk for techies.
I think Samsung knows it too. And I think they do. And us being able to talk about it and put videos out on it, that's going to get them more sales and stuff. So,
yeah, it could also be used as marketing too, because if you hear the Note 20 Ultra, you know what I'm saying? The Ultra, you're like, ooh, what the Ultra mean? You want to go find out what the Ultra means. Or you're going to go to the store and find out the Ultra is the same thing as the phone you had 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It was just a regular name on the phone, but now here you slap Ultra on the back of it.
Yeah,
and you raised the price by $400 or $500.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to figure out what's Ultra about it.
Man, yeah. Well, then they make the plastic back, and then you look at the Ultra and you see what's Ultra about it. I think they,
But that comes back to it being inside shop talk for us.
Yeah.
Because we know better to buy a plastic phone for over $1,000.
Exactly.
But
yeah, there ain't no way. Yeah.
But a regular person don't know that.
Yeah. I was talking to a Sprint guy the other day. Yeah, he didn't even know. He's like, oh man, these look like the same phone. I was like, you do realize one's plastic in the back, right? He's like, no, I didn't know that. I was like, yeah, man, it's, yeah.
They use that Glastic, that new Glastic thing they've been, and see, that's the thing about Samsung. They use the A series to experiment for the S series. So you find more interesting little quirks about the A series phone. Because they tried it, because the A series is used as like the guinea pig line where they introduce something kind of new there. And they and if it gets a lot of interest, then they say, okay, it'll blow up really big if we put it on our money making line of phones, the S series.
Yeah, pass it on up.
Right.
I did like that little camera, man. What was it? What phone? What Samsung phone was it with the flip up camera? It flipped up out of the body.
The Z Flip.
Yeah. Oh no. The camera, a little pop up.
Oh.
And the screen was completely clean.
That's OnePlus.
Oh, was it? I thought Samsung had one.
OnePlus 7 Pro.
No, I know the OnePlus had it. I thought Samsung, one of the A line, had that.
I think it might have been a. Was it the A70?
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, it might be.
I think it was the A70.
I think Tana So Lit had that phone.
He did. I remember. But was it the A70? Yeah, because it was. Yeah, that's what. The clean.
Yeah, it had a clean display.
Yeah.
And it had a pop up. But that's the one thing they never brought over. And people got worried about that motor. And I think it'll make it hard to certify that phone IP68 water and dust.
Yeah.
With that kind of mechanism on a flagship phone.
Just because of that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool idea, though. I mean, but yeah, that motor got to wear out sometime, you think. I don't know. It's just more things that fail in it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I had a 7 Pro, and unless you constantly taking selfies, you're not gonna wear it out.
No.
Okay. Nah. Samsung did have the phone where the back flip around. You remember the whole back?
I remember that one. Yeah. You know what I want them to do is put that. I still want them to put that camera in that S Pen, man. That front facing camera. Like put it right up.
Understand what a camera is.
Put it right up at the top. Just think about it, man. Because you hold it out here, you hold it there, and the front of the screen is completely clean, no camera at all, and you still got.
All right, B. We let you design the next one.
All right.
Well, all right, B. Well, that pretty much does it for the show. I'm going to try to bring it to a close, but right. I'd like to thank all those out there who's been supporting the Gadget Switch podcast. We appreciate it. And other than that, we're going to call it a day. You want to shout anybody out, V?
Oh, man, I just want to tell everybody thanks for listening. You know, put our name out there, Gadget Switch Podcast. Y'all have a good night.
All right. And we are out.